This workshop is Hope Moves into Action Tools. My name is Marie S. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'd like to introduce the speakers for this workshop. We're going to have Adele speak first, then Claudia, and then Cecilia F. Let's start the meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The first speaker today is going to be Adele. Adele, it is all yours.
Hi, everybody. My name is Adele G. Cecilia, Claudia, and I just wanted to start this, probably more for us than for you, but with the set-aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you. And this prayer is taken from the chapter to the agnostics in the big book. And I'm going to share a picture right now of where I came from so that I can kind of qualify. You can see that's where I was at about 300 pounds. So I'm just going to leave it up for a couple seconds and then, and here I am now. I am 76 and a half years young. And I've been in OA for 37 years with two research sabbaticals. Currently, I have a year and a half of abstinence and 16 years free from refined sugar by the grace of my higher power and Overeaters Anonymous. The picture that was screen shared is where I started at about 300 pounds. I lived in the Seattle area for most of my life, and then about 2.5 years ago, we moved to Las Vegas and are enjoying it a lot. I have found a wonderful, wonderful OA family down here, just like I had in the greater Seattle area. Moving hope into action was when I was asked to share on a panel, and I saw that, and I thought, I really like that, and it was really selfish, because I started doing research, and during this time of COVID and all the things that are going on, you know, hope is a really, really big thing, because a lot of times the people being isolated, and so finding hope is really a big, big thing. And so moving hope into action for me means working my program to the best of my ability every day, one day at a time. And from this includes, first, I need to make a decision whether I want to live in hope or despair. Am I willing to go to any length in working my program, or am I satisfied with half measures, as it says in the big book? Personally, I am a drama queen, a chaos junkie, and a control freak. The treatment program for these is working the OA program for me. All of it, not just what seems easy and convenient at the moment. Because those things never seem to get me to hope or to surrender or peace. They just get me trying to plan and organize and get everything done. I need to remember that it's progress, not perfection, that guides me. And I am not the center of the known universe. That one was hard for me when my first sponsor told me that, you know, that I'm important, but I'm not that important. Everybody isn't thinking about me all the time. Why is it important for me to move into action? Because if I choose the opposite, I'm miserable. The OBEY program has brought me hope and a life worth living and enjoying and staying abstinent for, because that's what keeps me in hope, is working the program, 12 steps, and being abstinent. Because without one or the other, without both, I don't have anything. To live in hope, I must work my OA program, spiritual, emotional, and physical, one day, 1 hour, sometimes 1 minute at a time, remembering that it's only for today. I can make a different decision tomorrow. For me, this means prayer and meditation, which is step 11, remembering to seek only my higher power's will for me and the power to carry that out. Not asking my higher power to know and do my will, but asking to know my higher powers will. I do thank you prayers. When I pray, I say, you know, thank you, God, that I am. And that has been really helpful for me because it keeps me in the present. And I like to future trip or go back. And so keeping in the present is a really, really big one for me. So when I pray, I always say, thank you, God, that I know what you want me to eat. Thank you, God, that I know what you want me to think about. Thank you, God, that you are controlling my actions, my thoughts, and my words. Because if I'm in control, I'm in trouble. My head, my heart's in control, then I'm doing good, because that for me is where my higher power resides. And another thing, next one is abstinence. Abstinence for me is primary. I mean, that's the basics. It's like getting on a bike and going somewhere. If I don't get on the bike, which is for me abstinence, then I never get anywhere. And abstinence keeps me so that I can actually work my program. Because if I'm not abstinent, then my head is off in all different directions and thinking about what I'm going to eat, and my food becomes my higher power and starts directing everything I do. So those things are really, really big for me. And with my abstinence, just personal, because everybody works their abstinence program a little bit differently, probably. For me, I log my food. Some things I weigh and measure. And those are all part of keeping and working my program and staying in hope. Because when I do that, my head thinks that, I heard a speaker one time say, my head thinks that a head of lettuce will fit in a cup. And so I have to remember not to listen to my head, because a piece of fruit this big isn't a piece of fruit on my program. So I just have to remember little things that help me, and everyone finds their own things. And so a lot of people write down their food, and that's part of their keeping in hope and keeping abstinent. So that one is, for me, logging keeps me accountable, because all day long, when I write it down, I'm thinking about, okay, is this something I want to tell my sponsor? And if it isn't, then it's like, oh, okay, I think I need to get away from that. I remembered someone, a program friend, saying one time, if I can't have one of, a little of, some of, or part of, I don't have any of. And I like that one, because that for me, you know, if I look at something and I think, oh, that's not enough, you know, it's probably a good thing for me to just stay away from it. Because just like I have 40 years clean and sober, and if I were to take one drink, I'd be drunk right away. And it's the same thing for food with me. If I take one bite of something that is my trigger food, or whatever anybody wants to call it, I call them my alcoholic foods, then I'm done. You know, I'm off obsessing on that. So abstinence for me is bottom line. And the next one is working the steps each day to keep me from suicide. And Cecilia and Claudia are going to expand on the steps, and I'm really looking forward to that. That's why I wanted to go first, is because then I could listen to them and gain knowledge and wisdom from them. And then I use the traditions too, because the traditions keep me from homicide and help me with my relationships each day with my husband, because right now we're in the house together, and we've had a wonderful time during this time, because I've been able to work this program and not blame him for things or take it out on him, because he's the love of my life, and yet he's the one I'll take everything out on. So keeping in hope means that I don't take it out on somebody else. I work at not snapping at somebody. And if I do, then I need to make an amends, you know, like it says in the ninth step. And so when I do something, like even at the grocery store, something happens, you know, I have to think about, okay, let's see. I think I owe them an amends, you know, because I kind of went off on the person that was, you know, scanning my food. And immediately I get this feeling. And that's because of the program that I get this feeling. And because my higher power lives in my heart, I get this feeling like there's something grabbing my heart. And I know I owe an amends somewhere. So, you know, and that's due to program. That's due to the program giving me hope and giving me ways to live my life. The next thing is daily physical exercise. I find it really important. And during this time, we canceled our gym membership because of COVID. And so I really had to get into we found this auction, online auction, and my husband found a treadmill for just a minimal amount of money. And thank goodness, he's so talented and wonderful, he put it together. And so I have a treadmill that I can use every day. But I don't make excuses. I'm good at excuses, but having an intent and making a commitment and keeping commitments. Next thing for me is using the tools of recovery. The first one, of course, is the plan of eating. And that's my commitment to abstinence. And each day I have to make that commitment because I don't get credits. They don't roll over. It's not like a phone plan or something. The credits don't roll over. Each day I have to ask for that abstinence and using a plan of eating, which means for me, just there are things that I do eat, I don't eat, and a meal has to end. You know, I think Roseanne in her book says, you know, a meal has to have a beginning and an end. And that end isn't starting it isn't beginning in the morning and ending at night when I go to bed. It's, you know, a short period of time and I finish and I'm done until my next meal. And then I don't have to think about food. And then the second one, sponsorship, being one and having one. I have to give it away to keep it. If I don't give it away, then I don't remember. And I sponsor selfishly because it keeps me thinking about what I have to do. You know, when somebody asks me something, it seems like it's always something I'm concerned with. And so I get to share what the program has taught me and not what my head says, because my head will go off in tangents and wants to be right and wants to plan and scheme. And, you know, and then if I listen to my heart tells me what my higher power wants me to say. So I always say a prayer before I talk to somebody on the phone. And it gives me perspective and humility, not humiliation, but humility. And I like the definition of humility, that I don't think less of myself. I don't think less of myself. I think less about myself. That's it. I almost lost it. But that one is really big for me, you know, that I'm still important. I'm just not the center of the known universe. And my purpose is simply to walk through the steps with my sponsees and with my sponsor and share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not their therapist. And if I do get into that, it's just my ego and my need to be right that want control. So I have to be really conscious of those things. Am I just wanting to be right? Am I wanting them to know how wonderful I am? So that's really important. Three, attend meetings. I am a full spectrum addict. And so meetings are really important. And I have three OA Zoom meetings. I have four AA Zoom meetings, and I have three meditation Zoom meetings that I do with partners in recovery. So being at meetings and listening and sharing and doing service. And right now people say, well, it's Zoom, there's no service to do. There really is. You can be a host, sharing how you're working your program during this time is just so valuable to me, because even though I've been in program and I, in my head, I know these things, in my head wants to take over and it wants to think things different. So I really, really like the meetings because I can hear what other people are doing during these times to help to work their program and to stay in hope and stay sane. I have to use the telephone. I have to call people, and I love getting calls. My phone number is up there. My email, if you can't see it, you can call me and I'll give it to you if you want to just email or something. But I love getting phone calls. I have 1 minute. Holy cow. I've got 5 pages left. Okay. And I thought I didn't have enough. Well, what I'm going to do now is move, you know, working the rest of the tools is really big. And so I use the prayer of protection throughout the day, which is the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us, and wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And so with that, I'll close, and Cecilia and Claudia are now going to share, and I'm really looking forward to this because I know what great programs they work. So thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this. I thought I was scared to death, so thanks.
Thank you. Our next speaker.
Hi, my name is Cecilia. I'm a recovering compulsive eater, restrictor, purger. I want to say thanks to everybody doing service to make this happen. What a creative and talented bunch of people we run with, and determined to share, experience, strength, and hope. So yay for all of that. So as I said, my name is Cecilia. I'm going to open with a reveal prayer, which goes, God, as I reveal myself to you, please reveal yourself to me. As I face the truth, please show me the light that I may see the way. That was given to me as a step two prayer. And I am going to be mostly talking about step two. So that's my quick introduction. So I want to do a quick qualification, and I'd like to do what it was like in five images. And I think Elise is going to be screen sharing, and we'll go pretty quickly through these. So can we see 1982? Great, 1982. Great. Can we see 1986? Oh, 96. Yeah. Can we see a bit more of that? Is there a way to drop that down a little bit? Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. 1998, please. Okay, maybe I'll go ahead and talk, and as they come up, I'll refer back to them. So essentially, the pattern is weight gain, weight loss. And in the course of those images, it's the same 25, 35 pounds over and over again. What happened was in 1990 through 1994, I found OA through a therapist. I worked steps. There we go. That's Cecilia, 1998. Great. So that's, hello. That's my same 35 pounds that I had lost in the years before. And now you can go ahead and put up 2001. Yeah. Okay. There's same 35 pounds gone again. And then in 2016 was right when I came back in the program. So you could say that thank you so much, Marie. I've never been clinically anorexic or obese. I have only ever been crazy around food and gained and lost and yo-yoed and did all the things. So moving right along, in my short period, in 1994, I worked the steps. I had a sponsor. I did service, the whole nine. I was happy. I moved away from the area to a place where there was very little in the way of OA recovery. I'm going to take a breath because I realize I'm holding my breath. And then I fell into relapse, and I continued to do that same yo-yoing. 35 off, 35 on, 25 off, 25 on, until 2016, which is when I came back to OA. I was working with a sponsor in another program. I was talking with her about my craziness around food. She mentioned that have you ever heard of OA? Turns out she was working OA, and I had already been working with her for some 6-7 years in the other program. And I asked her if she'd be willing to transfer her sponsorship with me over to the OA program. And I've been working with her ever since. And we hit the ground running. And when I first came back, I want to read to you the writing that I did on July 15th, 2016, my very first meeting back, the Denny Park meeting. The reading was on the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And do you believe the program can help? So yes, I believe this program can help me. And the only requirement is that members have a desire to stop. And in the interest of keeping this PG-13, I'm gonna beep all the language. Okay, so do I want this? Yes, and beep, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, I don't like it, I hate it, I want cake, I want cake, I want cake. I don't want to stop the behavior, I want to stop the effects of the behavior. I want to eat like normal people do, to be able to enjoy an occasional piece of cake. I guess I'd also like to be freed of the obsessive thinking and food, about food and weight and stuff. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. Literally. And the last thing I write is, this is going to be funny someday. And I'm happy to tell you that to me, it's funny. I mean, I recognize the pain I was in, but it was funny. So hopeless, very clear, very, very clear. And powerless and no sense of humor, which was the saddest thing. So I'm going to read now from hour 12 and 12, page 11. Can I get a quick time check? I know that wasn't.
You're fine. You're just over 6 minutes.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. This is so great, you guys. Everybody doing service like this. I feel so held. I feel so hopeful in doing this, and that with the support of all you guys, that I can do this, even though I'm like in my den, dropping my phone and losing my place. Okay. So anyway, hello, my name is Cecilia. I'm a compulsive eater. And so it's clear, you know, I'm in a first step. I'm going to read from this, our beloved 12 and 12. Once we honestly looked at our lives, it became easy for us to admit we had acted insanely where food and weight were concerned. Dropping down, more self-examination revealed many areas in which our lives were out of balance. We had to admit we had not acted sanely. Dropping down, too much of the time we had lived in fear and anxiety. When we were around other people, we smiled and agreed. When we really wanted to say no, some of us were unable to stand up for ourselves in abusive relationships. And we deserved it. We're people of extremes. We overreact to slightest provocations while ignoring the real issues in our lives. We were obsessively busy. Then we were exhausted and unable to act. We were wildly excited and then deeply depressed. I very much identify with this as a person who is diagnosed with mental health issues around depression. We saw the whole world in black and white. If we couldn't have it all, we didn't want any. If we couldn't be the best, we didn't want to participate. And so how small my life had gotten behind this. Again, even having had experience of the incredible unity and hope and love and support of developing a relationship with a higher power through the fellowship and the work in the steps. Clearly, if we were to be restored to sanity, we had to find a power greater than ourselves. Right. So how do we do this? I came to believe, so step two, came to believe a power greater than ourselves had restored us to sanity. Came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. It was clear that I was insane. So that was not in question at all. So how do I begin to come to believe? And this is where the hope comes, right? I saw other people recovering when I returned to the rooms in 2016. Wow, thank you. I connected with other people. I felt better. I felt the hope in the rooms, and it inspired me to take action to come back and to return. I'm going to read from our beloved book, page 12. So how have we come to believe in a higher power? It started with going to the meetings, in the camaraderie of our fellow compulsive overeaters, people who understood and cared about us. We could be ourselves They were totally accepting unconditionally. It grew into love, which stayed with us in having left the meetings. I couldn't deny that I felt better. The love and compassion of the people in the rooms and the hope that they brought, I could see in their faces that it got better. And it inspired me to continue to return, to pick up the tools that they had used. And then I began to have my own relationship with a higher power. And I love this step. And every time I work through it with another sponsor, another cycle through myself, or with a sponsee, I have this, I want to take the hope I have in my heart and set it into the hearts of the people I sponsor to let them know that this thing works if you work it. Hope is defined by Merriam-Webster as to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true, i.e. a power greater than ourselves. That's not what Merriam-Webster says. And the archaic definition is trust. So that's the underpinning of my willingness to come back. Action is a thing done, the accomplishment of a thing, usually over a period of time in stages, possibly of repetition, i.e. the steps. We keep to work it. We work it one day at a time. We keep coming back. We use the tools on a daily basis. And for me, that when the topic was revealed, I knew right away I wanted to talk about step two, the spiritual principle of which is hope. And so, speaking of moving into the other steps, I'm going to pass it along to my lovely panel member and say thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. It's really exciting to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecilia. Now I would like to have Claudia.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Claudia. I'm a compulsive eater. Love, love, love OA. I came to OA when I was 27, 28 years old. I'm 52. And by the grace of this program, which to me, if they would have told me that this is what was going to happen to me, I wouldn't have believed it. By the grace of this program and the steps, I've been abstinent for 17 years. And I was the typical person that just kept on yo-yoing. I want to show you a picture here. This is me as a little kid. And I started struggling with my weight since before I was 10 years old. I went to my first diet doctor when I was 12. And this little girl that you see here is my skinny sister. And this is my oldest sister. We were diet buddies. And I did. And my whole life when I was a little kid, like the highlight of my day was food. Like I chose my friends by the food they had at their home. I remember which one of my friends got the first microwave, because microwaves didn't exist when I was a tiny little kid. They came afterwards. And I remember standing in front of that microwave and the cheese melted in 8 seconds. And to me, this was unbelievable. I fell in love. That was my first love. So I've been struggling with diets. What happened to me? I went to my first diet doctor at about 11. I became a really good dieter. And then I just proceeded to yo-yo my entire life. When I was about 26, 27, this is me at that age, I could no longer diet. I learned here in OA that the disease is progressive. For anyone that is getting here, for any newcomers that are in the room today, for anybody that is maybe not a newcomer but is struggling with being powerless over food, I want to say welcome. And I want to tell you that this program really, really works. This was me. pretty close to my bottom. I was about between, I don't know if I was like 70 or 80 pounds heavier than I am now. I didn't weigh myself anymore. I was about a size 22 or 24. And when I came into the program, all I wanted to do is lose weight. And it did happen. The miracle happened. You can see me here at my lowest weight, which I took the program a little too far. And then I relapsed. And this was me during my relapse that I didn't know I was in a relapse. I was in complete denial. And to me, that just showed me, you know, how much I needed the program. But for anyone that's struggling today, I just want to say welcome. And I just want to say that we have a method, we have a recipe that works. And they told me, stay until your miracle happens. And what gave me hope when I came to the program? It gave me hope that I found a room full of compulsive eaters that were recovering. A lot of them were abstinent. A lot of them were at a healthy weight. And that gave me a ton of hope. And I did what they told me. So basically, step one, you know, I had to accept. And I knew that I was powerless over food. I knew that food owned me. When I got to the program, I knew I was an addict. But I didn't know that it was a spiritual malady. I didn't know there was something where I was going to need to do all this other recovery. I just wanted to lose weight and be done with it, right? So what happened to me is when I came in, they explained to me that just like an alcoholic, you know, can't have alcohol, there were going to be some foods probably that I wasn't going to be able to have. And that really worked for me, that definition, you know, to find abstinence. And I found abstinence, and that abstinence has been very peaceful. And it's an abstinence that is neutral. And I was the yo-yo dieter that had five different sizes in my closet. And now I've been the same weight and the same size for many, many years, which is a huge miracle. So this program really works. What they explained to me is that, yes, I was an addict and that I had a physical problem. And what they told me is for that physical problem, I studied the big book a lot, and they say they call it the physical allergy. The solution is abstinence. In the big book, they talk about entire abstinence. So they kind of gave me guidelines, and that abstinence really worked for me. And today, you know, I'm so grateful because food is not an issue in my life. I don't think about food, and I have that neutrality that is promised, you know, that abstinence that is not, you know, kind of like clenching my fingers and being worried about food. Like I literally don't think about food, which is incredible because like I showed you, when I was a little kid, all I thought about was food. That was the highlight of my day. But then they told me that that was one part of the problem. The other part of the problem was in my mind. And for that, you know, they told me, you know, our minds are different. Your mind is going to try to convince you to eat again. And they told me that is kind of like the biggest problem that you have. So that was, you know, I didn't really believe that at the beginning, but I started following the directions that they gave me. So the directions basically were the 12 steps. And what they told me is, you know, the tools are wonderful and we need them to work the steps. But the tools are going to help you feel better. But what's going to get you well is the steps. So what I went ahead and did is, you know, in that abstinence, you know, following that food plan that really worked for me, that ended cravings, what I did is just started to work the steps. And when I worked the steps, I really found so much hope. When I came in, you guys, I was going to just use the free services of my sponsor, you know, and I was going to leave as I had lost the weight. But when I started working the steps, something started happening. when I got to the third step, you know, they told me, this is the decision and it's a commitment to work these 12 steps. They said, it's not a 1, 2, 3 program. You know, if we do like 10 out of the 12 steps, it's probably not going to work. It pretty much works like a recipe. It's like a puzzle. And each one of the steps, each one of the tools, which appear, you know, like appear mundane, like make a phone call, you know, answer these questions about the steps. What? Very mundane. It appears very easy. It appears too good to be true. But what I found is that those were mundane, simple tools, but they worked at a spiritual level. Because I understood that what I had was a spiritual sickness, just like any addict, and that I had no mental defense. So if I use my mind, which is what I had been using since the beginning, I had been using my mind to try to not gain weight. Well, every time I did that, I started, yes, my diet every morning, thinking, oh yeah, you know, you're going to be fine. You're gonna eat this diet and you're gonna, you know, lose weight tomorrow and next week, you know, you're gonna be losing weight. But no, every day I started the diet and every day I compulsively ate by 10 a.m. So I knew that my mind was not enough. So when I started working these steps, things that gave me hope, I wanna read to you from the big book, page 63. It said, after we work the third step, you know, and the third step, it's where we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. And I love to say it's a higher power as each person understands it. So when I did that, you know, these are the promises. They said, when we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. And what I found then after this third step, when I studied that fourth step, is that my problem was not, you know, that I had a bully in my childhood. It was not that I felt abandoned. Yes, that was part of the problem. But my real problem, as they had told me at the beginning, was in my mind. And I have this little statue that I bought for myself. I don't know if you guys can see it, but this little statue, you know, it's got this broken mind. And they told me this is what's going to be my biggest problem. And that's why I was going to need to work the steps, because I was going to need to have a spiritual awakening. With a spiritual awakening, I was going to be presented with those foods that I wanted the most. And I was going to be sane. And I was going to say, I can't have that. That's poison for me. And that happened, you guys. And I saw people saying this in meetings. And I couldn't believe it, because I couldn't even be in a diet for 2 hours. But they gave me the precise recipe, the very simple program that is found here in the steps. So what I proceeded to do is I worked that fourth step. The fourth step, I love it. To me, the fourth step is like an x-ray or an MRI of my spiritual condition. And the way I know that I am not in good fit spiritual condition, they told me, you'll see it. It's going to show up as resentment, fear, and harms. I was like, what are these people talking about? When they asked me to write my first four step, I thought I was writing all of those things because we were going to look at the trauma. And, you know, I was so happy to be telling them, look at what this person did to me. Look at what my brother said to me when I was little. Look at what my mom, look at, you know. But what they were doing is they were extracting, you know, those resentments, those fears, and those harms, because that's what was making me sick. That's what was blocking my higher power. Wow. When I started doing this systematically, it worked. 100% of the time it works. You know, the chapter where they talk about this in the big book is how it works. And it reads, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And I haven't gone and checked it, but someone told me that when this book was written, that they had written that never have we seen a person fail. That basically, that's what I've experienced, that every time I am willing, because I'm not always willing, you guys, because the disease not only sickens my body and my mind and my emotions, it sickens my will. I can't do what I need to do. But every time I am willing to do this work, 100% of the time, it works. And I can see that it is the fear. It is the resentment. It is the harms that I've done. If I feel guilty or ashamed about something, that's going to block higher power, which in step two, they told me it's the only thing that can give me sanity with the food. And in step one, they told me I'm absolutely and completely powerless over food. So they all of these steps connect like dominoes. So when I did that fourth step and I could see it, and I love it, you know, I just imagine the fourth step like this MRI machine, you know, like a tunnel where you go in and the first thing that you see is you see fears, resentments, and harms. I'm angry. I'm fearful, right? And then I go in and they tell me every time I have these, it's because my instincts are threatened. I came here to lose weight. Why are they talking to me about instincts? What does one thing have to do with the other one? But believe me, you guys, it does. And it's so powerful. So I did this. I did exactly what they told me to do. And the instructions are very simple. They're not complicated. So when I did that and I could see which instincts were threatened, and then I could see that when I was miserable, it's because I was blocking my higher power. The big book talks about blocking the sunlight of the spirit. And that was exactly what was happening to me. So they said, okay, so there's four main character defects: selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, fearful. I'm not selfish. Take my car, you know, take my clothes. You can use my blouse. I never mind that. And then they explained it to me. They explained to me that selfish, the definition that we learn is a little bit different, right? So selfish is that I want to control life. Selfish is that I want what I want when I want it. Selfish is that I want to run the whole show, right? Just like when I had my dollhouse, my Barbie house when I was 7 years old, right? I want to do that with my husband. I want to do that with my kids, my mom, my sisters, my job, my boss. Life doesn't work that way. Wow. And they told me, even if your motives are good, even if you want to control someone's life because it's good for them, even if you only want good things for your children, right? Wow. Really? Yeah. It's not your job to have an agenda for people. It's not your job to try to control people. Wow. Okay, I guess I am selfish, right? And then they spoke to me about dishonesty. The main type of dishonesty that I had, I wasn't going out there lying to people, but the main type of dishonesty that I had is that I lied to myself. I lied to myself. I had a lot of prejudice. I lived in self-deception, basically, a lot of denial. I didn't even know the things that I thought about myself. I have here inside my little friend, you know, the types of thoughts that I used to have, you guys, very damaging thoughts, all kinds of damaging thoughts. I am fat and ugly. I need someone to come and rescue me. I am a burden. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And this is how I navigated life, right? So of course I was miserable, but because these thoughts were there and I wasn't really conscious of them, I didn't even know it, but they were hurting me. They were hurting me a lot. But when I took a pause and I did that fourth step and I was able to see these things, it was an awakening, right? And then the self-seeking, you know, doing things just to fulfill my ego. And then the fear, you know, being terrified all the time. I didn't even know it, that I lived terrified. But when I paused and I did the steps, it was revealed. No wonder I felt so horrible. No wonder I kept forgetting before that I couldn't eat those foods. My mind was completely plugged. So what the steps do is that they unplug this mind and they let my higher power come through. They let truth come through. And that's exactly what happened. And they told me, you know, you are not going to be able to bottle it and put it away, you know, in a closet. You are going to need to do this every day. How do I do this every day? Well, steps 10, 11, and 12. And it works, and it keeps working every day. They told me you're never going to have to eat compulsively again because you're not going to want to. Seriously, that gave me so much hope. And then the thing that really filled me with hope, of course, you know, I worked my sixth step, my fifth step with a wonderful sponsor that listened to me when I admitted my defects of character with such compassion. It was a wonderful process where I got to see my patterns. I got to feel acceptance. I got to reveal all my secrets, all of them. And that was hard. There were some things that I didn't want to share, but thank God, you know, right in the middle of that meeting, I said now or never, because they had told me that if I kept secrets, I wasn't going to recover. I was going to eat again. Thank God. I just, in 15 seconds that it took me to say what I didn't want to say, 25 years of shame melted. So with that, you guys, I just want to share that this program has really saved my life. And then the promises of the 9th step, the promises of the 10th step that we get to keep living every day. And they talk about serenity. They talk about joy. They talk about peace. They talk about acceptance. They talk about neutrality with food. They talk about a useful life. No more regrets, no more beating myself up. And it is all true. But I do need to keep working this program. And I think with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Claudia. We're now going to enter into a question and answer time period. And Elisa is going to lead that.
Hi, I'm Elisa, compulsive overeater. We will now open the floor for a Q&A session. The first question is for the panel. What exact page in the big book is the set aside prayer found on?
I'm Adele, compulsive overeater. It's not found on any one particular page. It's in We Agnostics between primarily pages 47 and 48. It's kind of a summarization or a conglomeration. And it's a prayer that's been passed down through. So if somebody wants it, just my email is there, or call me and I can email you the prayer.
Thank you. Our next question, where do I find the prayer of protection?
I'm Adele. The prayer of protection is one that I learned, I don't even know where it came from. So, you know, it's just one that's been passed through all the different spiritual philosophies that I've studied. So again, if you would like it, please call or email me and I will be happy to share it with you. It's one that calms and helps me every single day, all day long. It's part of my morning prayers too. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question for the panel. Please repeat the reveal prayer.
I will repeat it and then please give me a call. I would love to talk with you about it. God, as I reveal myself to you, please reveal yourself to me. As I face the truth, please show me the light that I may find my way. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question. What's the one thing that you have learned in the program that you wished everyone knew?
Okay, I just, my favorite thing that really saves me every day, because this disease, you know, self-deception is just, for me, it can happen a lot. It can hit at any time. So one of my favorite pieces in the literature is part of the 10th step. And it just talks about, it is a spiritual axiom that every time I am disturbed, there is something wrong with me from the spiritual perspective. Like I've separated from my higher power. And I do experience that every time. And you guys, it's annoying as heck, because sometimes I want to blame other people. But I really see how my spiritual condition is what determines, you know, how I show up in life, how I feel. And if I, when I keep on doing this work, it keeps happening 100% of the time. So I'm grateful. To me, that's been so valuable, and it makes me willing to do this step work every day, basically. Thank you.
Thank you.
I wish I had known easy does it. It's not about working harder. Easy does it.
For me, it's higher power. It's just remembering that I'm never alone. And whether it's someone in program that my higher power talks through, or which I've heard from both of my co-panel members this morning, I feel so good right now that, you know, I'm going to walk through the rest of this day on a cloud, because I just, you know, 37 years and I forget every single day that I know anything about this. So I love that. That for me, higher power, you know, is guiding my life every single day, and it's always there. And that for me is the biggest thing. Thanks.
Thank you. So the next question, Cecilia, please repeat the step two prayer.
So that's the reveal prayer. That's kind of the shorthand is that the first step is the serenity prayer. The second step is that reveal prayer, and also the set aside prayer, and step three from the big book, step seven, step 11.
Thank you. So next question, Claudia, how do you differentiate between God's will and your own?
Well, I like to use the principles of the program as a navigator. And, you know, also, the promises, the promise of serenity and acceptance. And when I am, I feel in page 52 in the big book, you know, they talk about the bedevilments. And I can feel those when they come, you know, when I'm having trouble with personal relationships, can't control my emotional nature, which, believe me, it's still there. Prey to misery and depression, can't make a living, have a feeling of uselessness, being restless, irritable, discontented, being full of fear, being unhappy. So, you know, when I am in my higher power's will, things usually flow, even during painful times. It's very different to go through the logical, painful things that are part of human nature, and the sometimes scary things come. But when I am in my higher power's will, I feel acceptance, I feel serenity, I feel peace. And when I am in my own will, I'm fighting, you know, I can feel the struggle. And what I know today is that my problem is not my powerlessness. My problem is that I don't accept my powerlessness. And, you know, the love, the serenity prayer, serenity to accept what I can't. And, you know, the strength, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it's shown to me, you know, my higher power shows up in my reality every day. So, yeah, so for me, you know, happy, joyous, free, acceptance. If I have to lie, you know, about something, it's probably not my higher power's will. So I love the principles of the program too, you know, like honesty, hope, trust, serenity, humility. I love all those. That's how I can tell. And as far as my food plan goes, I know that I'm in my higher power's will, because I am not eating more food than I need or less food than I need. You know, I've done both extremes, and it works, and it's a peaceful food plan. So that's how I believe I can tell. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is for all panelists. Can you please each share what your action plan is?
I'm Adele, compulsive overeater. And my action plan starts with prayer and meditation, another part. And I had a handout that that is actually up there, that's a sample action plan. And I didn't have a chance to get to it because I chatted so much before that. But, you know, it's like I actually make an action plan every day. And there are different categories. You know, I can base it on, what do I need today? Do I need serenity? Am I challenged by my head? You know, I each day have to ask for help. But, you know, there's different meditation. Make sure that my strategic, that it's something that I can accomplish, you know, because I can set things really, really out there. I want a quantum leap. I'm a quantum leaper in my head where, you know, in actuality, I have to take one step at a time. And so prayer and meditation, abstinence for me, one of them is logging my food. That's a really important one for me that keeps me accountable. And if I start feeling wookie and like, oh, you know, gee, I just need that, talk to my sponsor, because if I don't, then I stay in my head. And my head is my addict and my heart is my higher power. So if I feel the adrenaline running, so, you know, it's what's important to you. And to me, for me, it's physical exercise. Did I do physical exercise today? Was I kind? Am I going to do my 10th step at the end of the day? You know, people might not think that was part of the action plan, but it is for me. Part of my action plan is at the end of the day, I have to empty the garbage, because if I don't empty the garbage, I take it with me into the next day and it just starts stinking. And then I end up having to make apologies and you know, as much as amends help me, I I want to be perfect and I'm not. You know, sometimes that pisses me off, but you know, this program works. So find the things that are really important to your program, to you, to your family. Make sure that it's something you can accomplish, but make sure you have one, because I think it was Dr. Paul that said, you know, I judge myself on my intentions and the world judges me on my actions. And so, you know, I have to remember that. And in my action plan, I can account for that. So, you know, find what's important for you and for in your life, because what I do isn't going to help you. But those are just a few things that I use that are basics. Thank you, Rose. I'll go on forever.
Yeah. So much as what Adele said, it depends on the day, but my priorities and my sort of most basic plan of action are what I have agreed with my sponsor, and that is that she will hear from me every day, that I will have done prayer, meditation, I will have done reading from some kind of literature. I've been using Voices of Recovery, and I've also used For Today, and I'm also reading On Awakening from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the Acceptance is the Answer to All My Problems passage. Outreach, I need to speak to at least one person in the program because I tend to isolate, and that I'm abstinent, that I have a plan for what I'm going to eat. And so that's my most basic action plan.
Thank you. We have time for Claudia, if Claudia has something to say about action plan.
Yes, sure. So my action plan, I start the night before preparing my food, because I eat breakfast and lunch at work. So I prepare my food at night. Sometimes I might not finish preparing my food, so I get up in the morning after I get on my knees and say that I love the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. But I like to say it, I say it with my heart, because for a while there, I was just doing it, just repeating it, like, kind of like, blah, 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 blah. So I've started saying it with my heart, and that really has a great effect on me. And then because of Zoom these days, I have a daily 5:30 a.m. OA meeting that I go in Spanish. And then I start with sponsee calls, and I literally talk to about 7 people every day. And it's wonderful. I'm so blessed. And we're carrying the message to one another. It's just amazing. And then I am aware that I don't connect with my feelings and with my body. So I pause, you know, to do my 10 steps throughout the day to see just where am I at, you know? Because I could be exhausted and I don't even know it. I might want to need to go to the bathroom and I don't know it, because I just don't connect with myself. So I pause throughout the day and do 10 steps. Where am I at? Am I upset? why am I procrastinating? Am I afraid? You know, am I angry? Am I, you know, just going through those things that I know that is what blocks my higher power? And then do a lot of service also. Service gets me out of my kind of my self-centeredness. It's a wonderful spiritual tool. So I do a lot of service throughout the day. I answer the phone every time it rings, unless I'm like meeting with my boss. If someone from program calls me, I answer it. And yeah, I think that's probably what I do every day on a consistent basis. And I also watch my rest. If I don't sleep well, I need to rest, because rest is a big trigger that can make me want to eat. It's one of the few things that still could make me hungry at times. And I have things that I use to connect with my higher power. One of them is music, and also movement helps me connect with my higher power. So I make sure that I put those things and do those things throughout the day too. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next question or comment and question for Cecilia. Paul M. from Seattle writes, Cecilia, thank you for seeing me in my early days in program at a time when I thought I was invisible. How did you develop your compassion?
One day at a time. One moment at a time. One amends at a time. Working the steps, having the compassion of other people when I came in. I mean, truly, I was cussing a blue streak that I had to come back to OA, and people loved me. And I knew that I was nuts. I was like, I feel like nuclear waste. I'm that toxic right now. And people were so loving. They just said, keep coming back. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, you know what? I wanted to add two things to my action plan, if I may. And that is, I write gratitudes at night as part of a 10th step. And I have health issues. So whatever I need to do to address my health issues, and that includes time outside and, you know, treatments and things like that. So self-care is the top of the list in my action step. So, and thank you, Paul. See you later.
Thank you. So next, I am 7 months in the program and abstinent from sugars all these months. I've finished third step last week, but I'm struggling with food plan. Do I have to be in abstinence to work these steps?
There are two ways of thinking in the program: that working the steps get you abstinent, and getting abstinent helps to work the steps. I think it's a hand in glove thing. I think it's a conversation between you and your sponsor and your higher power, you and your higher power and your sponsor. I know that for me, I create a plan of eating from the Dignity of Choice pamphlet, and that's been really helpful for me. It's a wonderful support, and that's how I think of it. That it's nourishing, and it's supportive, and it's self-loving.
I agree. Yay and amen.
That is all the time that we have for this session. I want to thank our speakers. It was awesome. And the good questions that we received. And we are going to take a break for 15 minutes until the next session starts. Thank you, everyone.